This is Carol Steckler, and I'm the host of Kitchen Table Politics, and I'm the person who called these folks to this table. So I'm have a radio program, and I'm interested in this bond as I have been in other bonds as long as I've been an adult. And again, I'm Carol Steckler.
I'm Richard Ward. I'm a longtime Lopez resident. I had children who attended Lopez School. For a while, I was married to a school board member, and I am also, however, a retired person on fixed income, and I do look at taxes as a burden, but I am very strongly supportive of paying taxes for something like refurbishing the school.
I'm Chris Creason. I am an alum of Lopez School, both the elementary school and the high school, and I'm also a parent of two children. One is in the elementary school, and one is in the high school, middle school. I'm a taxpayer.
And I'm Kathy Booth. I represent the school. I'm a teacher here in the school, but I've also taught in many other states and been all over the country working with teachers and technology. So I'm very interested in getting this school on a good path.
My name is Clive Prout. I'm a school board director, and as such, I am one of the five people who are elected by the voters on this island to represent the voters' interests in the public school system. And I'm also the parent of two children who are in the elementary school and married to an alumni of the school. I want to thank you for passing the last M&O levy. That's the part of the taxes that you approved in the last election that funds the ongoing operation of the school. And if everybody who voted for that levy votes for this bond, it will pass, and that's what we want. So thank you for the support that you've shown.
So I thought we'd start this conversation by each of us identifying, and as succinctly as we can, say what we think is the most important aspect of this bond. And it's okay for us to clarify and ask questions and interact around that question. We can just start with whoever is ready to start.
Well, the most critical thing is the infrastructure here is either out of date or worn out or downright shabby. And we need to do something about that. And included in that are questions of safety. And, of course, beyond that are matters of the efficiency of the educational program as enhanced by technology. But I would say the poor repair of our systems here is a little bit alarming, and it even extends to the septic system, which has to be replaced.
I guess I just add a little bit to what Richard said. The septic system is, in my understanding, over 60 years old and on the verge of failing. And right now, because of inadequacies of the septic system, the students, when they eat their breakfast and lunch in the cafeteria, either have to wipe their trays clean with paper towels or are using paper plates. And if the septic system were to totally fail, then the whole school would be shut down. There's many other examples. The plumbing system is ancient. Some of the flooring in two of the classrooms is now down to the plywood subfloor because there's no tiles in those classrooms, because when the heating system failed, the adhesive on the tiles came up. The sprinkler system doesn't exist in the shop and in the gym, and the list goes on. But I think it's important that it's important to fix all of these problems systematically in an integrated fashion rather than piecemeal, because if we wait for them all to fail, the school faces closures, and it's also going to be more expensive if it's done as a piecemeal approach.
An example of, you know, safety is really important. An example this week, we were scheduled for a fire drill, and the day before, something set off the fire alarm in the elementary school. And so we thought, well, we have another fire alarm, and maybe the drill has been changed. It's not going to be the day that it was. But it was something that set it off. But the secondary school didn't hear it, and their alarm did not go off. So we really need an integrated fire alarm system so that for safety purposes, because it could be a very dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. And again, like Chris said, getting our technology infrastructure up, the plumbing of the technology can be covered in this bond. I've been all over the country as a technology integration specialist, and this is probably one of the least technology-equipped school that I've been in the country.
So all three of you are speaking to some of the critical infrastructure needs. I think the thing that I would add that I want people to know about this bond is that it represents the best effort that the school board and school administration was able to make in terms of listening to the input that we got from the previous bond proposal that failed and integrating that into what we believe is a compromise of the various factions. So in addition to meeting the critical repair and maintenance needs that Richard and Chris and Kathy have spoken about, it also eliminates some of the improvements to the school which were seen as less important and put the price out of range of what the majority of people could support. So that the bond that we're now proposing is a 40% reduction from what we were asking for 18 months ago, and is our best effort to put together a proposal that will receive the 60% support that's necessary for the bond to pass.
I certainly agree with everything that anyone has said, and so I'm going to take a slightly different tack, because I recall someone testifying at another hearing we had on the previous bond about graduating from school here in the Quonset Hut when that was our gymnasium, and saying what it felt like to come into a new auditorium. And as a student, this was a graduate, but just thinking about what it meant to the students to feel the support of the community, to build them a structure. I mean, those of you who never saw the Quonset Hut, it was like going from a tent into a wooden structure. I mean, it did hold out the rain, but it was big signs were put up. This is our gym, and we're proud of it. I mean, the students did the best they could. But there is something about having a school that is pleasant, well-lit, is warm when it needs to be warm and cool when it needs to be cool, and a community that votes for that, that directly affects their capacity to learn. I know that. I'm 72 years old. I've worked in education all my life as a committed person, and there's a lot of research that shows the environment that children are placed in affects their capacity to learn and their sense of possibilities. Suddenly, there's possibilities. So that's what we're voting on. That's what I think is along the reason and where the money's going is essential. But underlying all of that are children of ages from 5 to 18 or older that are going to be affected every single day by our yes vote.
Carol, you're raising a really important point there about the support, the visible support from the community for the school. So about the time that we get the results of this election, we'll be starting a search for our new superintendent. And the quality of candidates that we will attract will be directly impacted by whether this community is seen as supportive of the school in this bond. And that's the most significant leadership position available in the school system. And we'll get better candidates if they can see that the community is supporting the school in the most important way, which is by financially.
Does anybody have anything to add at this point on this question?
Well, I taught school for a number of years, and my first year teaching was walking into a brand new building and that told me that I was in a good place, that this community I was in was willing to pay for good facilities for the school. You felt as if they had your back. Mm-hmm. They had your back. And that was borne out over subsequent years in terms of providing other facilities, providing learning materials, providing good salaries. It was very progressive, and I liked being part of that. I especially want to agree with what Clive said about looking for a superintendent when he doesn't want to come to a sinking ship. It has to be a place that seems to be saying yes mm-hmm. to education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a memory when you were speaking. That was when I moved to Lopez and 1978, I was in starting third grade, and at that point, elementary school and high school were all in what is now the high school building. But then the next year, we moved into what was at that point the brand new elementary school, and that was the result of a bond being passed by my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation. And as the beneficiary of that, I feel it's incumbent to vote yes to ensure that that building doesn't leak and the septic system for it continues to work and that my children and the children of my generation can benefit in the same way that I did.
I can add to that, Chris, that in order to build that building that you walked into in your second year here, we had to pass a bond. Mm-hmm. And the first attempt to pass the bond failed, and it failed by only a few votes. And that's hard because you're just as far behind if you lose by a few votes as if you lose by a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You don't get your building. And some of us went out and got people to register to vote and urged people indeed to support the school, and we did pass that bond the second time by, I think, 16 votes. So it matters. Your vote matters. It makes a difference. This may be an off-year election, but it's not an off-year election for Lopez School.
That moves us nicely into the next part of this dialogue, which has to do with what do you think is are the major obstacles to the potential passing of this bond? I mean, I can start because I've thought about this longer than anyone else here, and I think turnout, which you mentioned, I think that's a key, very key demographic. We need to turn out voters, all voters. We need 60% of the vote.
Well, I think we also need to convince people who voted no that this bond is different, that the school board did listen, that the school board did respond, so that those who were naysayers a year and a half ago can at least take a look at this bond as not the same thing that was voted on last time. The elements that are in the bond were largely in the original bond, but many things were taken out, and that's because of community response. Another thing is simply money, that if you're used to paying fairly moderate school taxes, it's hard to look at a big increase, and I think the original bond was too much of an increase for people. They honestly felt that was too much. It may be in the middle of the average, you know, statewide, but that doesn't mean anything when you're here and maybe on a rather low income and you see a substantial increase in your school taxes. So I think that the board has wisely pared this bond down to essentials.
And I think that it hasn't gone to the point where it's going to be a Band-Aid approach. It is $9.6 million, but it's not the Band-Aid where it's not going to last for a while. We're hoping that this will last 20 years and things will be fixed correctly and integrated.
So the biggest obstacle, the biggest challenge to this passing, well, what I heard when I spoke to people, this is during the last bond election campaign and afterwards, was that there were a lot of people who wanted to support the school and just in all conscience thought that the proposal we put forward in the last election was too much. It included things that were not really necessary, things that they wouldn't do for their home. And so they voted against it, in not because they don't want to support the school, but just because they thought that proposal was just too much, extravagant in some ways. And I think the biggest danger we have is that that there's a sort of a lingering sense that that's still the case, or that the school doesn't deserve to get this bond passed because they should never put the last proposal to us in the first place. I think that the sort of the hangover, if you like, from that last, because it was an acrimonious affair. It was very divisive for our community. And my hope is that in putting together a proposal which sort of took input from all the parties we could get and tried to find the middle ground, that we will bring some healing to the whole community as well as pass a bond that people who want to support the school, which I definitely believe is the vast majority of voters, can feel good about.
I feel like Clive brought up an interesting point now too, and that was, there seems to be within our community a certain group that feels that because that Lopez School doesn't deserve to pass the bond, partly because the previous bond was high, but also partly because of alleged academic test scores that are lower than state averages in places, or because of some problems that the administration has had. And I think that framing it this way makes our kids suffer. We shouldn't be denying our children really reasonable facilities for their education, because there have been some challenges in the school. And I think that regardless of what happens in this election, it's important that as a community we're engaged in discussions that have to do with academic tests, score averages, and also with the administration in the school. But those are no reason to vote no for the bond, in my opinion. They are something that, as a community, I think it's important that we engage in discussions about. And you know, they will be challenging discussions, but they're important discussions.
So, does anybody have any last-minute thoughts?
Well, what I'm thinking is just, it's a little tangentially related, we haven't really talked about is the way that passing this bond and making the capital improvements that it would give us could help the ongoing running costs and ongoing financial situation of the school. Every year, I mean, I've only been on the school board for a little under 3 years now, but it seems that each year financing gets tighter. The state is not living up to its obligations to fund public education as the highest priority, which, despite the actions of the Supreme Court, that's trying to enforce it, it's just not happening. And
at the same time, you have all of these unfunded mandates.
Yes,
things that you
exactly,
have to do.
Exactly. So it's getting harder. It's noticeably harder each year in the 3 years I've been on the school board to create a balanced budget that we can feel good about. And a significant chunk of what would help us is the costs that it takes to maintain the school in terms of the maintenance budget of the ongoing fixing of all these problems, which, as because we have to fix them out of the same pot of money that goes to paying teachers' salaries and all the rest of our kids' education. So it's kind of difficult to know exactly how much this bond passing and the improvements would save, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably a couple of hundred thousand dollars is available, which would pass into the general fund from which we run the school each year. That would make a huge difference. We had to lay off teachers last year because we didn't have enough money to pay them. We wouldn't have had to do that if we had already made the improvements that are necessary. So it translates very directly, not just into the physical environment the kids are learning in, but in the actual money that we have to run the school year to year.
And also for materials for the students.
Yeah.
The money that we're putting into electricity.
Right.
And all our utility bills, which is enormous, could be put into materials for the students.
Yep, utility bills, and it's repairing stuff.
Well, I thank all of you for coming. It's been a really articulated and informative dialogue, and I'm grateful for all each of you do, and all of you out there who are involved in some way with talking about and participating in the lives of our children through the Lopez School community.